From the Packers TV network, going end zone with the green and gold every week. This is Packers Live.
And welcome to Packers Live, the voice of the Packers, Wayne Larrabee, alongside Lance Allen. And Wayne, the theme this week is a win is a win is a win. Is that what you say?
Yeah, there's no such thing as an ugly win. It's a win. And the Packers desperately needed one, and they got it against the Bucs at Lambeau Field this past weekend. But it didn't start out so well. Opening drive of the game, the Bucs, Lance, went 10 plays, 75 yards. They converted on third downs of 8 and 6 yards, and that was a portent of things to come for the rest of the day.
And there you're seeing some of the plays that they had that chewed up double-digit yards, marching down the field, and then Jameis Winston, his favorite target is the tight end, and guess what? 28 yards right down the middle, Wayne.
You know, they really worked the tight ends yesterday, Lance. Tight ends had 5 receptions in that game, but 80-some yards and 2 touchdowns. Brate had 2 touchdowns himself. So they really worked in the passing game with those tight ends, the second level, it appeared, of the Green Bay defense.
No doubt about it, got right behind that second level. Impact plays are needed, and Kyler Fackrell now starting to string together some of those back-to-back, Wayne. I'm going to call it blocked a punt, even though it went beyond the line of scrimmage, but I'm going to call it that, Wayne.
Yeah, you know, it looked like to us a block, but, you know, technically it got back to the line of scrimmage. Fackrell, that set up this first touchdown drive for the Packers. 45 yards, Jamal Williams with that determination into the end zone. Now, he had a great ball game.
He kept just running so hard over and over and over. And this, once again, it almost looked like a pick six. Instead, it's a fumble. I don't care what you call it. It's still 6 points for Dean Lowry.
How is this defensive end out in front of the field like
this?
Look
at that.
There are guys who run a 4.4 40 that are chasing him, and he's pulling away. My goodness.
I love the fact he drops the ball, and it's just like he knows what to do. He goes up and does a tremendous Lambeau leap. So good for Dean Lowry. The Packers had 3 straight 3-and-outs, so their offense really struggled. That's suboptimal, Wayne, in any world that you live in. And the Bucs tried to give it right back, but somehow, some way, just because of their offensive stagnation, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they really didn't take advantage when the Packers were kind of dormant. I called the offense moribund in the second half for the first 3 drives, and they were. 9 plays, 9 yards. But Tampa Bay unable to really take advantage of it. You see right here, this is where they got the lead on the touchdown pass to Brate. He's an excellent tight end, and they featured a lot of tight end action yesterday in that ball game, or I should say Sunday. But at any rate, that set up some of the heroics for the Packers as you take a look at this, the highlights in the fourth quarter. They finally got things on track. And that's a testament to them. There's a lot of determination in this locker room. And Hundley, you know, he made a couple of plays through the air.
Yep. Found Devontae Adams open there.
But really what he did was he kept drives alive with his feet and more often than not. You know, Brett could take a shot. But again, as you take a look at these plays he's making right here now, this is the stuff that they needed down the stretch when they fell behind. And that's kind of a gut check for an offense. They set up a field goal here. Yeah. This is, you know, you thought about, well, hey, listen, you know, do you want a field goal here or should they go for it? Because it was fourth and very short. Obviously the right call there. Take the points, and if you have to, go to overtime.
And it ended up paying off big dividends. In overtime, the Packers take the ball, and they're going to score Matt Hasselbeck style, only they complete the task. They don't throw the pick, obviously, to Al Harris. But Brett Hundley, big third down scramble for a first down, Wayne. And this really kind of, to me, set the tone, getting the chains moving.
This is what he can do. Now, Brett did not have good accuracy in his passing game yesterday, but he did some good read option right here and picked up big yards. And you're right, Lance, and that drive, those 2 plays kept it going.
And there you see a little bit of fake, a little bit of trickeration there. You get it out to Jamal Williams space. Jamal Williams was a man. I mean, he just did so many things, high stepping down the sideline. And then all of a sudden you bring in Aaron Jones, second play of the game, Wayne, first carry. Look what he does.
Yeah, and I screwed up this call totally, Lance. I mean, I thought Jamal Williams, of course they handed it to Jamal Williams.
He was in there the whole game.
He was in there the whole game. But apparently, from what I read and from what I heard after the game, he asked to come out. Jamal Williams was gassed. Mm-hmm. He was carrying this team. He asked to come out. So here comes Aaron Jones. Hasn't been around for 3 weeks. He's got the bad knee coming off knee surgery, and boom, he's in the end zone.
I never thought you made mistakes. I always thought you were perfect, Wayne. That's what your wife tells me anyways.
Yeah, right. She'd be the last one to tell you that.
All right, coming up next, we've got a big man and doing a Lambeau leap. So you know Larry McCarron is going to show how it happened next on Packers Live.
Packers Live is sponsored by Johnsonville, Mills Fleet Farm, Spectrum, and TIAA.
Welcome back to Packers Live. One of the crucial plays Sunday was Dean Lowry's fumble return for a touchdown. 62-yard return. It ended with a Lambeau leap, but it started with a green dog. Larry McCarron explains in our Chalk Talk.
Dean Lowry picks a fumble out of the air and returns it 62 yards for a touchdown. Like most good things football, it was the result of a number of good things. Let's take a look. Now, in the play in question, the Buccaneers are very tight and heavy. They have one here. They have an offensive lineman pretending to be one there and another up here. The Packers' answer is to go with their big, oaky personnel where they take out a corner and put in an extra safety. So they have one, two, three safeties on the field, and they do that to cover those tight ends in the passing game downfield and to provide a little extra muscle against the running game. Now let's go to the line of scrimmage. Of course, the headline acts are Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry, but we do not know that initially because watch. Clark, he's engaged with two blockers, Lowry one. The guy who really gets the ball rolling in the Packers' favor initially, linebacker Jake Ryan. He's going to do what's called a green dog. That's where the linebacker sits there, lets the blocking develop, and then he goes after the quarterback. It's like a delayed blitz. And that's going to do a couple things for the Packers. Watch Ryan. First of all, it draws a blocker off of Kenny Clark. See number 62 for the Buccaneers, Evan Dietrich Smith? He's leaving Clark to pick up Ryan. The other thing it does, it gives Winston plenty to think about. He's got nobody open downfield, and now he has a linebacker coming at him right up the gut. Earlier, we mentioned two blockers on Clark, so one of them busy with Ryan. The other one, he's up here checking on his right tackle. And see what that does for Clark? Now he's got Winston right in the crosshairs, and he's not going to let him out. He busts through. Out comes the ball. Nice hands, Dean Lowry. And now we have 6'6", 296 pounds, a 4'8", romping, stomping fury, heading downfield to the end zone for a touchdown, followed by perhaps the heaviest Lambeau leap in the history of Lambeau leaps.
I got the ball, ran it about 40, 50 yards, probably a little more, and then just saw myself in the big screen. I was like, all right, here's my chance, Lambeau leap right here. So I got up there and did it. It was pretty cool.
And it's American Pharoah at the Belmont. No one will catch him. Touchdown, Green Bay.
We got Wayne with horse racing calls. We got The Rock breaking down Lambeau leaps by 300-pounders.
With we green need more dogs. Of this. We got green dogs.
We need more of this every week, Wayne. This is tremendous stuff.
Colorful day. Colorful
Absolutely
play.
Great stuff. All right, next up, it's the roundtable with JS Online's Tom Silverstein. Stay with us. Time for the roundtable, joined by, I'm going to say, the Sports Writer of the Year nominee, Tom Silverstein of JS Online. So congratulations to that. And guys, thanks. First topic, have you seen enough of the running back duo of Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones to move forward with them as cornerstones? Can they help change the offense a bit to ease Aaron Rodgers' load if and when he returns?
Yeah. Do you remember that guy, Ty Montgomery?
Yeah.
He was once one of their running backs.
And now
backs.
He's on injured reserve?
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, they did not waste those two draft picks. There's no question. Jamal Williams has surprised me the most.
Mm. I agree.
Coming out of training camp, we all saw him. He was the number one back, you know, next behind Montgomery. And he showed a lot. But then all of a sudden, he didn't play that well in the games, and then Aaron Jones just bursts on the scene, mm-hmm. you know, and Jamal Williams gets forgotten about, and now all of a sudden Jamal Williams is doing it. Now they have to figure out how to use both of them.
They are different runners. I mean, you've got, you know, Aaron is going to hit a home run. Yep. Jamal's going to grind it out. Mm-hmm. Jamal's an excellent receiver and can make plays in the open field. So they've got a nice tandem there. And then if they Ty Montgomery, looking ahead to next year, if he's on the roster, you've got a guy you can do some things with, maybe kind of the gadget stuff you do with Randall Cobb, mm-hmm. things like that. So it's interesting to see how it goes. But, Tom, we're seeing in the NFL a lot of the good teams have at least two running backs that they intersperse in there in different situations. Some teams have three.
Yeah, you have to have two just because running backs get hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fact of life in the NFL that they get hurt. I think what we're going to see is eventually, I think Aaron Jones will come back and jump Jamal mm-hmm. Williams again.
Just seems like he's got a little more burst.
He's too explosive.
Right.
Yeah, he can give you some big, big gains. But Jamal Williams, if you get into one of those zero-degree games, you know, a snow game, you know, he's perfect for that kind of
He's a mutter like Edgar Bennett was back in the day.
He's
one of those gamers.
And he's powerful.
Absolutely. Now, Tom, I build you up because I got to tease you now.
Okay.
You wrote this weekend that the Packers pass rushers are paper tigers, so Sunday's 7-sack performance, does it give you any grand illusions the rest of the way?
You know, if you read the lead to that story.
Oh, here we go.
I said that by the end of these two games,
yes.
they were going to be on pace for a normal amount of sacks.
40-some sacks.
Okay. Right.
Because does this sound like spin control, Wayne? No, I'm kidding.
They were going to eat up on Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
Right.
Tampa with this absolute shambles of an offensive line.
Right.
And Cleveland, who's given up the most sacks in the NFL, or third most sacks in the NFL. Don't believe anything you're seeing right
now. Don't believe the
hype. It's an illusion. It's totally an illusion. Let's see what happens
this
against
Carolina. This is not
Carolina.
The fearsome foursome. You're not really?
No.
Not even the purple
two,
people eaters?
Two of those sacks, they didn't even get blocked.
I like just seeing you back on your heels a little bit, Tom. I like seeing you explain yourself, but I think you're right. I think you're right on the money that, you know, the Buccaneers offensive line, it's not good. All right, the special teams. Piling up penalties all season against the Buccaneers. They continued to wreck some nice returns doing that, but they made perhaps their biggest positive impact of the season with a block punt. I'm going to call it a block punt, whatever it is. Good returns by Trevor Davis and more good coverage, especially on the punts. Are these units rounding into form or still too hit and miss to count on a regular basis?
Well, I think what you're seeing, for one thing, is that Trevor Davis is getting more attempts.
Mm.
You know, as the weather gets worse, it's harder to kick it out of the end zone.
Absolutely.
And the more attempts he gets, the better he is. And he did get some attempts, and as Ron Zook claimed, he was really close to breaking one.
Yeah.
And if they can just avoid a penalty once in a while.
He's had a couple of good returns, been wiped out this year by penalty, no doubt about it, Tom. But I think special teams were a big reason why the Packers survived on Sunday. I got to ask you about the Packers' third down defense, which has really struggled. I went back on the play-by-play. Tampa Bay, 9 of 16 on third downs, okay? Now, that's fine, 56%. That's not good. But 8 of the third down conversions were of 5 yards or more. And I know as a defense, you get a team into 3rd and 5, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11. You're supposed to win and get off the field. What's going on in third down defense from what you've been able to?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of there's several aspects to it, but I know against Tampa it was a screen pass. Killed them. Yeah. Absolutely killed them. And it was because they seemed to lose leverage there. They were rushing the passer really hard, and they were taking Tampa Bay was taking advantage of that. Also, I think, you know, their cornerback and safety position has been a little bit shaky. So they're playing a safety at two safeties at their slot corners. You know, yesterday or Sunday, they played Jermaine Whitehead at slot and Morgan Burnett at slot.
Right.
You got to have corners in those positions. And so that's part of it. I think that has to do it. And their safeties have to play better.
All right. I think we're contractually obligated to talk about the Aaron Rodgers countdown. Ooh. Full force, practiced on Saturday. And check this out. While celebrating the win over Tampa Bay, he's raising his fists, and then he makes a sign that all Packers fans are hoping for. You see the circle there, one finger. Does that mean 1 week away? Guys, nobody knows for sure, but there seems to be a lot of momentum pointing to a return to Carolina on the 17th. What do you guys believe? Yeah, did you see the sign? Did it open up your eyes?
I didn't get a good look at it from the grassy knoll, so I'm not quite sure.
That one sign?
What do you think? Conspiracy theory.
What do you think?
I thought he was ordering a pizza. One pizza.
One pizza.
Sammy's down the street. Best pizza in Green Bay.
He's coming back. I mean, I think unless some medical test says he can't, I think he's back for Carolina.
Back whether they win or lose at Cleveland, do you think, Tom? Back whether they have a chance at the playoffs or not? What do you think there?
Yeah, well, even if they lose at Cleveland, they're not completely out of it.
Yeah.
Not completely. They're, for all intents and purposes, out of it.
Yeah.
But I think they would still consider playing him.
I think Tom's going to order a pizza in the break here, so we got to take a break. All right, next up, we're going to talk about Packers Extra. Everyone needs to be the playmaker, the claymaker, making his plays to stay in the playoff hunt. You're watching Packers Live.
Packers Live is sponsored by Menards, UW Health, and Toyota.
Welcome back. Clay Matthews came back from injury and turned back the clock. 2.5 sacks in the Packers' 7-sack barrage of Jameis Winston. Clay's star rating on the team is probably second. Definitely a distant second, though, to Aaron Rodgers. And that's in Packers Extra.
Packers Extra is presented by Johnsonville and Mills Fleet Farm.
You know, Aaron's the guy in Green Bay. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's the guy, you know, throughout the NFL, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now. And, you know, he's kind of carried this team for, you know, the better part of 10 years. So, you know, but for us to kind of grind these games out and, you know, specifically speaking about the defense, understand where we are and, you know, trying to force turnovers like three last week and, you know, that touchdown that Dean had this week. I think we realized we have to find a way to steal a few plays here and there. I mean, we'll see what that means when and if he does come back.
So Clay Matthews, is he truly back, Wayne, from all the injuries and all the nicked up stuff he's had to deal with?
You know, he's had a good year, okay? Mm-hmm. He earlier didn't have as many sacks as everybody thought he would have or should have or whatever, but he's had a good year. He leads his team in quarterback pressures and hits. He's done that all season. Now, sometimes the sacks come, sometimes they don't. But the Packers are most effective when Kenny Clark is pressuring up the middle, as he did Sunday against Tampa Bay, when Nick Perry's on one side and Clay's on the other side. One or the other is going to get to the quarterback.
Turnovers and sacks, and like you said, Wayne, just quarterback pressures, I think, would help them out tremendously, even against a team like Cleveland, and then turnovers gives you extra possessions as well.
Yeah, no question about that. And you know, I think that was big key, a subtle key to this win. The Packers didn't do a lot of things well offensively. They had some trouble getting off the field defensively, but what they did was make plays when it counted.
Next up, we're going to talk about that game in Cleveland. You're watching Packers Live. All right, Wayne, the hapless, winless Browns next in Cleveland. But Josh Gordon, I tell you what, comes back from being suspended for 44 games. That's nearly three seasons. Four catches, 85 yards against the Chargers. He's a true talent.
He's been out a couple of years due to the suspension. But this is a guy the Packers will have to focus on. On the other side of him is Corey Coleman, who's a guy many have not heard of. But this is a very good receiver also, who missed eight games with a broken hand earlier this year. Now, these two being out there, this gives Cleveland some downfield potential. There's no doubt about that.
All right. I remember, Wayne, the Packers after Super Bowl 31 losing to a winless Colts team in Indy. There's no escaping the ugly numbers for the Browns. They've lost 27 out of 28 under Hugh Jackson, but they've been in several tight games this year. Lost to the Red Hot Chargers by 9 on Sunday. 4 3-point losses, 4 and a 4-point loss this year. So they're in it, usually.
Yeah, you know, this is an NFL team, Lance, and they can win on any given Sunday. Let's hope given is not this Sunday on Lake Erie, but this is a team that can win, and they can, you know, there's not a lot of difference between the best team and the worst team of the league. And there's not a lot of difference between the worst team and a team that's kind of in the middle of the pack without its quarterback. That's where the Packers are. That's where the Browns are. This is going to be a very competitive
afternoon. I was always taught, Wayne, do not corner a wounded animal. And they are a wounded animal.
Yeah.
And they want to win a game at some point. You don't want that 0-16 record around you.
Hugh Jackson's 1-26.
That's unbelievable.
As a head coach.
It's just so bad. All right, for Wayne Larrabee, I'm Lance Allen. Thanks for watching Packers Live this week. We'll talk to you after the Cleveland game.